We're doing Ein Yaakov, and we're up to Gemara in Shabbos, Nafkuf Ches. The Gemara is going to discuss a conversation between a man called Abai Tusi and Rabbi Yoshua Hagarasi. Rabbi Yoshua used to review his learning really well. And when we read these conversations, so they're insightful to us on many levels. The Abai Tusi were a sect who refused to accept the oral tradition, and they spent their life trying to indulge in life's pleasures. They led hedonistic lifestyles. In the words of the Medrash Avot Rabbi Natan, they would buy themselves fine glass and spend their days partying, drinking wines. So the Abai Tusim said, the rabbis, they don't really believe there's a world to come. And so they're making our lives difficult. We can enjoy life. And so they turned their back on our oral tradition. They said they had claims, but the real reason was they just wanted to enjoy this world. And so when they would challenge us, we always took their challenges with a grain of salt, because we didn't feel like it was a real challenge. They're asking a question, okay, are they really open to hearing the answer? It's not always recommended to answer people when they question Judaism, because very often all they want to do is make their own opinion heard. They're not really interested in hearing what our tradition has to offer. So, Sha'al Abai Tusi Echad et Rabbi Yoshua Hagarasi. This Abai Tusi asks Rabbi Yoshua, who reviewed his stuff really well, Garsi, from the word Girsa, Minayin shen kotvin tfinin al gabei o be'emat teme'ah. He said to him, how do you know that you cannot write phylacteries, you cannot write tefillin on the hides of a defiled animal? Why can't I just do it on my donkey's hide? Why can't I take horse's hide, alligator skin? Let me write my tefillin on that. Dichtiv, he answered him. The Torah says, Leman tiyeh Torat Hashem beficha. Hashem wants his Torah in your mouth. From here we derive, wherever you're going to put Hashem's Torah, anytime you write down Torah like you do in a Sefer Torah, like you do in Tefillin, inside the Tefillin we have parchments with the Torah written on them, parts of the Torah written on them. So anytime you have to write down the words of Torah, it has to be Beficha, Midavar Hamutar Beficha. It has to be on an animal's hide, where that animal's type is permissible to eat. So he asked them, oh, that's the rule.
Where do we get from that you don't have to
shech
the animal?
Ela me'ata. So he asked him, that's the next question. Al gabei o nevelot v'trifot al yikatvu. So then why can't I write, why am I permitted to write it on animals that were not slaughtered properly? We use cow's hides, but we buy those hides from the non-Jewish slaughter shops. We don't take cow's hides from kosher cows, cows that were shechted kosher. We buy them in mass. Whenever we want to make the tefillin or the mezuzah, the parchment for Sefer Torah, we buy them in mass from slaughterhouses. So, and then we manufacture them. We make them into the hides of tefillin and Sefer Torah, etc. So he said, if that's the logic, you should insist on buying hides from animals that were slaughtered kosher. How come you don't do that? Amale, he answered him, Em sholecha mashal lema davar dumeh. He said, I'll tell you what this is similar to. You had two people who were supposed to get the death penalty by the king. So the king orders two people killed. One was killed directly by the king. The king killed him, executed him. And the other one was just sent to the executioner. Which one do you think was on a higher level if the king personally went to kill him? Obviously, the king personally kills. You know, that's what they said about different people in Russia. That there were people that the authorities actually, the leaders pulled the trigger on them. The more important a person is, so the more you see that the higher the authority of the one who kills them. So if the king kills himself, so then that's a sign that he's on a higher level. So the animal that gets slaughtered by a human, by a kosher shochet, that animal is on a lower level. But the animal that we find dead in the field, all the different carcasses that we find that we use their hides, they were killed by the higher authority, so that's okay. God killed them. That was his answer to the Baitusi. Ela me'ata ye'achlu. So then the Baitusi asks him back, if that's the logic, that the animal's on a higher level, when God killed it, why don't you eat them? Right? When you slaughter an animal, the Torah says you can eat it. So if you're telling me that when Hashem kills an animal, when it's killed, when you have find a carcass that's on a higher level, why don't you eat it? Amalei, so he answered him, HaTorah amra, lo tochelu kol nevela. Hey, you're a Baitusi. You're supposed to respect Torah. The Torah says, don't eat carcasses. Ve'ata amarta yachlu. You want to tell me I should go eating that meat? So he set him up. He told him an answer, which is not the real answer. He just led him along in the conversation to the point where the guy said, okay, so why don't we eat them? So he said, wait a second. You're supposed to respect Torah. And in the Torah it says you can't eat it. Amalei kalus. He said, you won. Okay, you gave me a good answer. So here we see an example of how they led the conversation. And they weren't interested in giving him good answers. They were interested in reaching a point of understanding. Hey, you guys have to get your act together. I often tell the story that a man from Shalom Achshav once came to a Yeretz Aitzu that I was at, and when I started talking, it was Parshat Chayei Sarah this past week, 2 weeks ago, and he stops me in the middle and he says, I just want to say that I know why Ephron was a tzaddik and Avram was the one who was getting a good deal. Because Maris HaMachpelah had the Adam HaRishon, the first human being, was buried in Maris HaMachpelah, and as such, Avram got a bargain, 400 coins for the most important artifact in humanity. He's getting the most ancient body that ever lived. Of course, Ephron gave it for a high price. So our sages say that that Ephron was cheating Avram. I say, this is what this guy said, I say that it's not true. Ephron actually gave Avram a very good deal. So I'm about to start giving a talk about Maris HaMachpelah and the deal between Ephron and Avram, and he stops me in the middle. So I said to him, I'm sorry, sir, but you're making a mistake. Adam HaRishon is not buried in Maris HaMachpelah. So he looks at me and says, what do you mean? I said, you're saying Ephron took 400 coins because Adam HaRishon was buried there, and I'm sorry, that's not true. So the guy says to me, of course Adam HaRishon is buried in Maris HaMachpelah. What do you mean? I said, here's a Tanakh, I was holding one, prove it. Where does it say that Adam HaRishon is buried there? It doesn't say it anywhere. He said to me, right? So he says to me, it says it in Bereishis. I said, no. Doesn't say it anywhere in Genesis. Doesn't say it. He said, it says it in Divrayam, in Chronicles. I said, no, it doesn't. Here's the Chronicles. Where? You prove it. So he says to me, oh, I thought he was buried there. I said, okay. So now you have a good answer? He said, yeah. And then I said to the other people present, I said, look, we have one of two choices. Either we listen to our sages and respect them, so then we know our sages are the source for this idea that Adam HaRishon was buried in Maris HaMachpelah. And they also told us that Ephron didn't know that, and it was a hidden fact. And the Medrash says that Avram didn't want anyone to know where he was buried. No one knew where he was buried. So the same sages that tell you Adam HaRishon is buried in Maris HaMachpelah also tell you that when Adam saw he and Chava were going to die, so he buried Chava there and he himself went there when no one would know he had gone there, because he didn't want humanity to know. He was scared that people would worship his body. So he hid his burial. He didn't want anyone to know. So I said, if you're going to respect our sages say exactly what happened. If you're not going to respect our sages, then you have nothing. Then you don't know. Then you remain with the idea that we have no idea where Adam HaRishon was buried. So you got to go one of the two paths. But to take half of what they're saying and not take the other half and then come and argue and say, I know better what really happened here, that's not fair. Either you take what they say or not, but you can't take half and then start arguing with them. So that's the type of argument we learned from this Gemara, that you don't always have to take a person on in their court. People come and ask questions. You don't always have to work with the system they're trying to set you up in. Rabbi Yeshua Garsi gives him answers that will lead him to a point where he has to respect the Jewish tradition. These aren't the real answers. These are the answers you give when someone's trying to drive you crazy about your tradition. Tani Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva taught the following. Etrog, Tznon, Ubeitza. Esrog, we know what that is, right? A citron. Tznon, we know what that is. What's a tznon? What? Oh, we did this. Gentlemen, I'm skipping forward. We did this already. Tznon is some type of radish. We did this too. We ended off with the warnings of Chazal not to put our hands, not to touch our apertures in the morning before we wash our hands in the morning. That's where we ended off last time. Hu haya omer, yad le'ayin tikatzetz. If someone touches their eye before they wash their hands in the morning, he'd be better off cutting off that hand than doing that. Yad lachotem, if he touches his nostrils. Yad lepeh, if he touches his mouth. Yad lozen, if he touches his ear. Yad lachasuda tikatzetz. Our sages said, a person should not touch any of the openings in their body. They'd be better off cutting off their hand than doing that. Yad le'ama tikatzetz. If a person touches his, even his male organ, the opening of the male organ, that's also, he'd be better off cutting it off. Yad lepita ma tikatzetz. The same thing if a person touches himself in the back where there's an opening. Yad. Okay, so far we've been talking about the openings of the body. So all the different holes that we have in our body, we're not supposed to touch them. The commentaries explain, we will see in a moment, that when we wake up in the morning, when we have at the edges of our fingers, there's this, what the Gemara calls ruach ra, bad spirit on our hands. And it doesn't leave till you wash your hands in the morning. So you're not supposed to touch any openings of your body before you do. The Chayyadim explains that when you go to sleep, so your soul goes up to heaven, and you're tasting 1/60th of death. And at that time, when a person's sleeping, that's when a spirit, or whatever you call that, can come in and affect the person. When a person wakes up, and then his soul comes back, so he's a holier person, at that point, they can't affect him. But they can remain at the edges of his fingers. And that's why we call it, in Yiddish, they call it Nagelwasser. You wash off your nails. The idea is that that's where it can remain, at the edges of your fingers. So when we wake up in the morning, we're supposed to wash our hands. Now, I just want to quickly cover a few laws of washing hands. When we wash our hands, we should hold our hand like this. The idea is that the water will pour over our whole hand. Okay? You want to hold your hand like this, so the water pours down. You could, but generally we hold our hand like this. You pour it on this end and that end. When we wake up in the morning, we alternate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? We pour first on our right, then our left, right, left, right, left. It's not critical, but that's the appropriate way to do it. In the morning when you wake up, so the Gemara says, we're about to see it, the Gemara says you have to wash 3 times. When you wash for bread, you could wash twice. 1, 2, and you don't have to alternate. You wash twice on each hand. The idea is the first time washes, cleans your hands, and the second time cleans off the water which cleaned off your hands. Meaning that's the idea of doing 2 on each hand. The water itself gets dirty. So our sages said, do twice on each hand. So that's washing for bread. When you wake up in the morning, it says that this spirit, whatever it's called Bat Melech, so this spirit won't leave until you wash 3 times, 1 and alternate. We'll just cover one more Gemara, which is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Halacha. So it says in Halacha, when you wake up in the morning, before you wash your hands, don't touch your eyes. Don't touch your ears. Don't touch in the inside of your mouth. Don't touch the other openings of your body. You wash your hands, that's okay. If you touch through a sleeve, meaning if you take your sleeve or your yarmulke and you rub your eye or your ear, that's okay. Through a garment. But to touch directly, you're not supposed to do that. That's the Gemara we just learned. So it says that through the openings, they can get back in and harm a person. Well, yeah.
Quick question about this. I was under the impression, of course you have to wash. That's but I heard that this ruach ra, if one has difficulty with that, I think Rambam or someone said just plain hygiene is the reason that you have to do it. Plus, there's some spirituality that we don't really understand or know, maybe. But the idea is this like no choice? If you're from Jew, you got to believe in this ruach ra. Or is it something, I mean, look, there are certain things that, okay, you just take it without evidence. I don't know if there's a person
I don't know that.
Who's never touched their eye by chance or something.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
Let me tell you a few things. Number one, we have two reasons why we wash our hands in the morning. One is hygiene. You've been sleeping at night, you touched different parts of your body. The second one is you're preparing for tefillah. Okay, but those two are separate from what we just learned now. Those two would be enough after you finish getting dressed to wash your hands. Or when you're ready to go out, you wash your hands. This is a different concept. This is a concept called Ruach Ra. Now, is Ruach Ra germs? Is Ruach Ra something else? I don't know. The Gemara and the Rishonim treat it, most Rishonim, or many Rishonim, treat it as some kind of spirit. I can tell you that when I was in yeshiva, there was a guy who, they said about him, that if you gave him food that you touched before you washed your hands, and that's the next line in the Gemara, he would get sick. So I didn't believe it. I was a wise aleck. So I did it. I took food. I don't remember if I took a cup of coffee or something before I washed hands in the morning, and I gave it to him. And he got sick that day. I was blown away. Not one of my more prouder moments. So I also saw a person who, as he would see his kids out in the morning, he'd take each kid by the hand, give him a kiss, and then he'd take one kid, say, "You didn't wash your hands, go wash your hands." Right? Don't ask me how he knows, but I was there, and I saw it more than once. We would carpool together, and I'd see how he, you know.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know how to explain it. I can just say I saw both. Both I saw with my own eyes.
I mean, clearly, we're not conscious when we sleep. Something on some level goes on, but that's a strange explanation, because first of all, it's only Jews.
Right. Okay. The next line in the Gemara is Yad legigiti katzetz. If someone touches a barrel of beer after they woke up in the morning without washing their hands, they'd be better off cutting off the hand. Again, the Gemara is using harsh terminology. Doesn't mean literally cut off your hand. It just means don't do it. So from here, we understand this to mean all food items. And I argue that this is different than the first halacha, that beforehand it said, don't touch your eyes. Over here you could say, I did it through tissue. Okay, that's okay. I didn't touch directly. But it said, don't touch the barrel. So that means even food in an encasing, you're not supposed to touch the encasing before you wash your hands, because it spoke about a barrel. So that's, the Gemara says, Yad misama, yad machreshet. The hand could cause a person to go blind. The hand could cause a person to lose their ability to hear. Yad mala polypus. Yad can cause this disease that the Gemara calls polypus. And again, we're stopping in the middle. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week, about the Gemara's explanation about this bat melech and washing our hands. Mayriv is in 1 minute. We've got to stop.